Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's episode number 480. That is 480. And you have found one of the top 100 real estate marketing podcasts in the United States. I am super excited to be able to say in every single episode that according to our listeners, that is you. We are one of the top real estate marketing podcasts that is around. So thank you so much for making that happen. In the meantime, though, let me introduce you to my amazing co-host. His name is Jonathan Dinwood. He is the founder of a multiple small businesses. He has been a WordPress developer hero, superhero, even over the last 10 or 15 years. I actually honestly don't remember. He's also got a real estate marketing startup that he's been focused on for the last 4 or 5 years called Mail-Right. They do an all-in-one system along with a website. At a slightly lower price point than many of his major competitors. So if you are in the market for such a thing, you might want to check him out. John, go ahead and follow that up with an introduction and tell us a little bit about yourself that I did not already cover.
Oh, thanks, Rob. You did a fantastic job. I'm the co-founder of mail-right.com. We're a all-in-one platform that provides a CRM, email, text, campaigns, a social media platform, and beautiful pre-designed website templates so you can get your WordPress powered real estate website up and running really quick. And you get all this if you pay month to month at $49, or if you pay annually, $39. Back over to you, Robert.
Beautiful. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to talk about some mistakes to avoid in 2025. The title of the video on the podcast is going to be The Biggest Mistakes. It's a little tough to say which is going to be the biggest mistake for anybody ever, but we are going to try to cover some of the major roadblocks that realtors oftentimes put in the middle of their own career path. So buckle up if you're interested to know what to try to avoid. Take out your pen and piece of paper. Start to take some notes and see if your business plan includes some of these things or doesn't include some of these things, as the case might be. So first up on our list is not having a lead nurturing strategy or platform when it comes to lead generation. So I think this is a little tricky myself, and I think it's got a lot of flavor and minutia in the subject matter. But John, why don't you share your thoughts about what you were thinking when you added it to the show notes?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, especially in the digital lead generation area, they think a lead is somebody that's kind of land on a landing page, or if you're using something like Facebook and you're using their direct lead generating platform, that the lead is there to buy almost straight away, and most of them aren't. It's really that simple. If you're using Google AdWords, local or regional, the call for action, the likelihood that they are ready for actions is higher. But it still applies even if you're using the Google platform, that a lot of these leads aren't going to do something straight away. And if you don't have some form of keeping yourself in front of them through email, text, and that, your conversion is going to be terrible. It's really that simple, really.
Agreed. So you spend a lot of agents spend a lot of time and money gathering a name and number, right? But we don't know where they are in the buying cycle. We don't know that where they are in the selling cycle. They could think that they have urgency and then something could change and they become dormant. And all of those possibilities lead to the need to, if you're not going to lose all the energy, effort, and opportunity that you thought you had in the first place, obviously you need to follow up, get in front of them. There's a lot of different ways to do that. That's the minutia I mentioned, because as an inbound marketer, we try to get people to be part of like groups, places that they're going to go to over and over again, provide a lot of value, websites like they're going to come to them organically. You're going to email them. You're going to drop notifications off like Facebook or YouTube, letting them know that you've added a piece of content. And the idea behind being inbound is that they are interested in checking it out, that you have provided something of value so that they'll come to your site. I still go to Neil Patel's site. I still go to other people that I follow who are excellent inbound marketers. They provide a lot of value. The only thing that I would say is that lately in my own career arc, I tend to drift towards content that's on video. If it's just a written blog post, I don't read them as much as I used to. Not even close. So you need a nerd one way or the other, though. What I interpreted when John put this in the show notes is it's absolutely critical that you have a strategy, some strategy, whether it's what the ones that John mentioned, whether it's the ones that I mentioned. You want to have a strategy in place to make sure you're staying in front of people. If you don't, it's like you're losing 80% of the value of any lead generation you're doing. Literally that big of a number. Because if they don't close immediately, you lose the value. That's crazy. All right, number two on our list is cold calling and door knocking without a cold calling or door knocking strategy. And that could be scripts. That could be like a plan, an organization plan. When I was doing a lot of door knocking and running canvassing crews, we would create graphs and charts for every block or every neighborhood that we're in. We would basically take like a city map and then create a house on it. And then we would hand that city map out to our door knockers, and they would have to make a designation on every single house so that when we went back to the neighborhood and they turned their clipboard into us at the end of the day, so we knew which door had been knocked on, had they answered, had a presentation occurred. That was all done via those pieces of paper on that clipboard. We had a really strong plan in place every time we were working a neighborhood. And the funny thing is that the more you worked on a neighborhood, the more you got your initial responses, the more value that the remaining doors that hadn't yet answered had, because you would have like somebody four houses down that had made an appointment for whatever your service was. So now that in those remaining door knocks that might lead to presentations, you had a stronger pitch available to you, such as, did you know that John, four houses down from you, is going to get an alarm installed on Thursday? And once these signs start going up, the houses without signs, without some kind of security protection, because that's what I was doing at the time, I was working with ADT, they're going to become more vulnerable. So now you've got fear of loss, keeping up with the Joneses, like four different psychological sales mechanics in place inside of a 20-second door knock script. So you've really got this incredible opportunity with when you have proper notes about how you've done your door knocking, and because it builds. And the same thing is true of circle prospecting, which is cold calling and using Ricky Carruth, because you do the same thing with the CRM. If you have a building with 363 units in it, and I was cold calling it, I would make notes in every single unit. I would add them to a CRM. I would say the name and the unit number on the CRM so that I could filter by the unit number. I'd say the building name and the unit number so I could filter my CRM based upon that building. And then I would go down that list and call every unit on there and make my notes for every single person that I talked to. Because by the time you've talked to 30 people in the same building, all your remaining calls are 10 times more valuable, 10 times more likely to close, 10 times more likely to yield you an appointment, because you have all the data you collected from your first 30 no's. And they probably told you stuff about the building. They told you about who the local realtor is in the building. They've told you how many units they think are available. They've told you what the pricing is. If you're a decent salesperson, they've done all that. If you're inquisitive, if you understand how to, if you have a plan in place, just like John said, if you have a strategy in place and you are following it diligently, what generally happens is your first calls are the highest resistance, but you learn more. You're not going to make any sales or appointments most of the time, but you collect your objections, you figure out what the concerns of the people in the building are, and then you have that in your ammunition when you walk into the next call. More likely that you're ready, prepared, able to handle the objections. And so all your calls get more effective as you're moving down your list. So I love this edition, John. It's incredible. What were you thinking when you put it on here?
Something slightly different. I think you've got to really have a reason for knocking on somebody's door, like you're doing an open house and mm-hmm. you're canvassing the area. Or let's say you're having a party and you invite the neighbours because a neighbour is leaving the area, or you've got some social event that you're running for a particular area that you have been canvassing for a while and you're just inviting them to the event. I think you're going to get a much more engaging, more natural conversations, and you're going to get a better response if it's around some kind of event.
Awesome. Well, number three on our list is, and likely we're going to go to a break after number three, ladies and gentlemen. So number three on our list is general marketing stuff like Happy 4th of July email. So as part of a business plan, the way that I perceive this comment, and I have no idea what John was thinking when he put it on the list, but when somebody says to me, do you have like marketing in place or what's your marketing in place? You know, there's so many different things you can do as a business owner. So many. Like I could do marketing assets like pens, pencils, mouse pads that have my logo on it and send them to my clients. And there's a really good reason that you might want to do that. But you can also do giveaways or trips, or you can do, there's a thousand marketing things you could do. Here's my advice to everybody listening to the show. Do not worry about the thousands of things. Do not get lost in the sauce. Try to pick three things that link together. Start there. If you don't have a couple of little marketing things you do that are cheap and expensive and maybe help you stay in front of your clients, like promotions, find three small ones that fit your budget, the time that you have available to you, and that maybe you can link them together. An example would be like a pen, like a mouse pad, and something else, like a notepad, like a physical notepad, something like that, like three little marketing promotion pieces, and then send them all to people in one kit and then use them individually, or a magnet and a couple other things. Or you could go with like traditional marketing, such as drop them in a postcard. Thank you for your business. Thank you for taking my call. I love taking opportunities to thank people. It puts you back on the radar. It is marketing 101 that you say thank you to people. So if somebody just did a pitch with you at like a conversation, had a long conversation, send them a thank you, a note by email, a physical postcard, which would really set yourself apart. And then you'd link that into maybe like a QR code on the postcard for maybe a giveaway that you have on your website for a lunch or something, something very small, inexpensive, but gives them a reason to go to your website. That's failing to have little additional marketing things in place, like emails, as an example. Which is what I think John probably meant by this, is honestly failing to take advantage of the work that you're doing in other marketing verticals. Now that was my interpretation, which I think I got wrong. What did you mean when you put it on your list?
I mean, sending these cans that mostly come from your broker's marketing platform that they're charging you to use, and you're sending, you know, to your database, Happy 4th of July or Happy Christmas, and it's come from the broker's marketing CRM. I just don't think it's providing any value, and I think it will mostly end up in people's junk folder and or it'll get deleted straight away. I just don't think in 2025 that's really going to pan out for you.
I would agree. Well, we're going to go to our break a little bit early, ladies and gentlemen. It's about 30 seconds to 45 seconds early. For those of you who are listening to us in any of the big podcasting platforms, of which I'm going to at some point have to get myself a list, but hopefully you all know what it are. A million podcasts. What's that huge one? Spotify. Wherever you're hearing us right now, if there's a way for you to like the show, give some kind of like social acknowledgement. If you're liking what like John and I are providing value, maybe you're a longtime listener, a longtime follower, please do us a favor and thumbs up or like the show. I had no idea that there was ways to collect that data for podcast trackers. They do collect the data and they do track your rank. And so I would love it if you'd help us grow a little bit in terms of our placement. We were number 86 I'd love to be number 50 next year. If you help with that, I will be eternally grateful. And I'm sure that John would be as well. All right. We'll come back. Stay tuned. We've got some great stuff for you after the break. We can't wait to share it. We'll be right back.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRight. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-right.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's episode number 480. That's 480. You have found the second half of one of the top 100 real estate marketing podcasts in the United States, maybe the world. Congratulations. We're so happy to have you. Thank you for listening. Today, what we're talking about is big mistakes that you can avoid as a realtor in 2025. So postcards with no real story is number four on John's list. And I'm kind of liking this thing where I look at what he's got posted here and I interpret it. And so far, the last two, I've gotten really wrong. It's not what he really meant. So I'm really enjoying this. Like,
well, let me do the intro because they're rough. Right. What I meant by this is I think postcards that really promote how you helped one of your clients are great. I think postcards can be effective, but they shouldn't be about the agent, about I sold, I'm a top producing agent in Kansas or California or somewhere. But if you got a postcard that kind of put on how you helped a specific client and it shows, you know, that you gave some real value, I think that's a better idea. Over to you, Rob.
Got you. So I'm going to make a rare recommendation for somebody on that I follow that is my number one guy who provides a massive amount of value if you happen to sign up for his email marketing list. You want to see somebody who does email marketing right, who tells stories in every single thing. All these stories can be applied to postcards, by the way. So it plays directly into what John's saying. His name is Bill Mueller, M-U-E-L-L-E-R, and he runs a website called Story Sales Machine. I've talked to him personally. I've been part of his email threads now for years. About 3 or 4 times a year, he sends me, a professional marketer, an email that is so good, I stop in my tracks, read the email, message him back and say, this is pure genius. And I deeply appreciate you. He's giving you those ideas for free. There's no charge to this. So when you subscribe to his email list, if I, as a lifetime marketer, am picking up value from it, I'm almost 100% sure all of you will. So follow Bill. And if you feel so inclined, tell him that Robert Newman sent you or that the MailRight podcast sent you, either way. See if you get the same kind of value, but it should cure this number four on the list. Number five, John, and I'm going to let you pick it up and do the same thing that you did with number four, is video content that isn't searchable. So why don't you go ahead and intro us?
Yeah, well, people are going to find your email because they're going to be doing searches in YouTube or some other platform, but I'm concentrating on YouTube. And you're probably going to have a local area. So you're going to have to make your video searchable. So, you know, that's what the title's about. That's what the meta description, that's the tagging you're going to use. And if it's about these four subjects that I've subsections, geography, relevant content, or i.e. around housing, ones that you're just marketing, attractions, what's going on in your area, what specific, like the zoos, people from that might be moving from outside the area to the area. So they're looking at specific, what goes on in the town or city. Business stories, you know, what's going on in your town when it comes around business. If you keep to these four subcategories and tag them properly, they're going to be found much more easier. And they're going to show up And you're going to get a lot more traffic for your videos.
I agree. So John covered that pretty well. Everything he said, I agree with. YouTube is one of our core services that we offer at Inbound REM, YouTube optimization. It is a skill. It is an art. And it is becoming more valuable every day. It is something that you should focus on yourself. You should sign up for whatever. There are a couple of websites that provide a lot of value to the average user and do so at a very low amount of money. That's vidIQ or TubeBuddy. Either one has good content. I use vidIQ. And I'm not shilling. I'm not asking you to use my affiliate code. None of that. I'm telling you just to go there for $10 a month and get huge value and learn everything you need to know about optimizing videos. And then you'll call me because they take a lot of time. So, and I will do it for you. However, you really need to make sure that your video content has been posted with a minimal amount of optimization or your video will never get found no matter how good it is. What John basically said, I couldn't agree more. I cannot believe how many videos I see that have been produced using thousands and thousands of dollars of time, equipment, and then nobody optimizes the video at all. You're like, what? I don't even understand. Why did you just spend all that time and money to make it not findable? It's crazy. All right. Next up on the list, number six, totally canned and boring monthly newsletters are produced by a broker. Now, I think I understand this one, but John, why don't you take it away and intro it?
Well, it's a bit like point three about the 4th of July archetypal emails. I got quite a few from agents about the 4th of July. Obviously, it's a bit tricky because I'm English, so it's not a date that I really care about. No, I don't believe that. But when it comes, come on, Rob, that was a good one. Totally canned. And it's the same thing applies to this, Rob. You know, these boring monthly newsletters that come from the broker's marketing system, which they're charging you for. So you think, I'm paying for it. So let's use it. And they push them out and they're soulless. They're not going to get much response in 2025, in my opinion, Rob.
So here's a crazy thing. There have been countless, and I mean countless, marketing systems that have done like crafted emails, such as, there's a really old one out there that has like a million people still using them. And I forget what they are. It's like White something or another. Anyway, there's them. There's Easy Agent Pro. There's all these people that do emails. And here's the idea behind it. The agency RE, these big marketing systems, Compass. And here's the concept. Somewhere way up the food chain, there's a professional writer and marketer who writes a single email for 10,000 clients, 10,000 agents, right? I know some of those marketing people, okay? The people at the top of the food chain sending out the messages to the 10,000 people. Before AI was prolific, they were oftentimes copying off each other's work, like just looking for somebody who wrote a newspaper and taking an article from that and then kind of like regurgitating it a little bit and then posting it there, following their favorite blogger, regurgitating what they said, and then sending it out to 10,000 people under the guise of it's this really well thought out new content. The amount of the only people on the list that I just gave you all that I think were doing an interesting job was Mauricio Umansky over at the agency RE. He pays attention to some of the details of his business where he has a marketer writing custom crafted stuff. And some of the time they break it out by market. In other words, your market update that you're sending to your clients might be designed for Los Angeles as opposed to one that's designed for the whole bloody nation all at once. Why am I getting into this granular detail? Because some of the time you're sold that you're going to get this top flight email system and email content, and you're almost never given anything useful. Almost never. No matter how good the marketing company. Why? Because who is familiar with your market, like Wichita, where John is at? Is somebody writing John an email for Wichita? Is it relevant? Is it seasonal? Is it relevant for right now? Is it even like... Wichita probably has So the real estate market is very divided. I'm going to give one last example. I swear to God, and then I'm going to move on. So some markets are down by 60 to 90%. California is about steady. So you have some markets that are just absolutely dying in terms of real estate, like sales and production. And you have other markets that are slightly up or staying static. So if you're trying to write a single email, like, home prices just keep going up, but that listing that we know is going to fly off the shelves, you should get it out there. Well, that for 50% of the United States is actually going to be offensive. Like, you will piss people off if you send that email. And that is what I'm trying to say in terms of this email content. So be really careful with this monthly newsletter baloney. Number seven on the list, not calling people and keeping and building relationships. So what were you thinking with that one, John?
Well, it's a kind of the opposite of my statement around cold calling without purpose. Now, I'm not against calling people, but I think agents call the wrong people. They don't call people that they have done business with or they have met. Because you definitely don't want to be what I call the invisible agent. And a lot of agents are. They're in the wrong business because it's about meeting people and having conversations with them. And the people that you've met, you should be out there meeting people and building up your database. And then when you've got quiet periods, and it should be scheduled, so you do these calls, you should. It's a bit like the Buffini mythology, these 300 or whoever you've got some reasonable relationship, you should try and keep in contact with them. They're not a hard sell, but just, you know, how are you doing? I thought I'd just give you a quick call, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think it makes a big difference. What do you reckon, Rob?
I mean, the more energy and effort that you can put into your sales practices, this is something that you know, listen, everybody listening to this podcast, this is really just John. Look, one of the mistakes that people make, honest to God, is you just don't make a commitment to being a professional salesperson. That's basically what this whole list is saying. And what is that? Well, spend 10,000 hours in the mechanics of all the things that are involved in sale, introducing yourself to people, doing a presentation, gauging interest, getting to know them, trying to create some kind of social equity so that you can continue forward a professional conversation without raising enough resistance from them that you lose that opportunity. That's basically relationship building. All those things are part of sales. So becoming a professional salesperson is definitely 10 to 20,000 hours of work, no doubt about it. This whole calling people and following up thing, I couldn't recommend it more. Like keeping and building relationships, you should have your top 100 people in your social circle or the social circle that you want to create. And you should be on the phone every day, all day, until you have a better sales pipeline in place. Because if you're going to become a real estate agent and you're like, you've been a teacher and you ask me what would my marketing plan be, I'd say take your top 100 parents that you ever dealt with and then call them and say, listen, I just want to let you know I'm retiring from being a teacher or I'm starting a second career. You know that teachers don't pay very much. I just wanted to let you know I got my real estate license. Would you mind if I sent you my card in the mail? And if you have a good relationship, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just going to interrupt, like, see how you respond. If you're starting out and you haven't got a lot of contacts and you're going to all these business events, instead of sticking your card in front of people, take other people's cards and then give them a ring and say, how can I help you?
That's a brilliant idea. Yeah. That's, you know, a brilliant idea.
Apart from some real gits, some real miserable buggers, most people are not going to respond negatively. You ring up and say, I'm just giving you a call. It's great meeting you. I just wondered, is there any way I can help you? Get, you know, what are they going to say? They're going to say, you know, F off. I don't think so, do you?
No. And you're right. And that gives you a chance to practice your social interaction, practice professional social interaction, which is the art of going back and forth inside a conversation and getting your message heard. That is not an easy skill at all for those listening. Anybody who's been a professional salesperson that's listening to this podcast, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It takes you years to figure out how to, like, gently introduce your offers into a conversation. Anybody can stop in the middle of a conversation and say, hey, John, I'm selling a ticket to a show tonight for $49.95. I've put one in your name. What's your credit card number? Anybody can do that. It's putting an offer on the table. And John says, fuck off, probably. But, and then I go, hey, I hear you and your fuck off is very valid. But did you know that the show is Mariah Carey and don't you think she's hot? Yes, I do. Great, John. What's your credit card number? And then you can just bugger off doubly now. And then you go down. That's the old sales methodology. And honestly, it doesn't work very well. You very few people can make it to five closes using like super high, up in your face, super aggressive sales tactics. What is most likely, you build a relationship, you get a rapport, and then you make some very subtle offers like, if I could do this, would you do that? If I could, would you? And those are the kinds of sales tactics that work today. Last but not least on the list, John, you did a number 8. You did a lucky number 8 to go along with our show, number 480. So here we are. What's lucky number 8? Do not become the invisible agent. Go out and meet people and build relationships in your community. So, John, why don't you carry us away on that one?
Well, it's a bit, I said it was 7 nearly, didn't I? Combined both. What it says, don't be the invisible agent, you know. I've got a website and Robert's got his excellent agency, his SEO agency and the video and all the great things that Robert does with his team. And I've got this more affordable platform, but it's just tools to help you. But it's still a person-to-person business. You can't be the invisible agent. You've got to get out there and meet people.
And no matter how you do it, you have to do what John and I do, because I don't like shilling and John doesn't either. We've talked about it off air. We don't necessarily like saying every single show, hey, go see MailRight, go see Inbound REM. But he is right. Regardless of how you do it, you have to have the courage and the will to put a signpost up that says, this is my business. This is what my business does. If you would like those things, please go to this place where I have information about my business. That is very, very important. I couldn't agree more. It doesn't matter how uncomfortable you are with it. If you want to promote a business, you have to get used to talking about said business in any way that you can. Speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, I am super excited to tell you that today's sponsors for the show has been InboundREM.com, a real estate SEO and marketing company that does websites that you own. We have many different services that focus on YouTube, hyperlocal, and traditional SEO. If you haven't got a solution for those things in place, or if you're looking to take control of your marketing destiny, please visit our sponsor, InboundREM.com's website, and go to the services and about page and see what you think. The other sponsor of the show is mail-right.com. It is an all-in-one platform that is extremely affordable, probably the most affordable platform in the entire real estate marketing industry right now. It's run by John, our co-host. He has done an amazing job with it. John, is there anything that you'd like to say or a place that you'd like people to go?
Yeah, we've got all the new websites in there now. We've got over about 9 to 10 really quite nice templates. They're all done in WordPress using a system called Cadence. It's really fast to load. It's the fastest loading mythology for WordPress-powered websites, in my opinion, based on Gutenberg technology. And I would say this, but I do believe it. We've done a really nice job.
Beautiful. So you should check that out. For those of you looking for a new website, if you're looking for a new destination, and if budget is really a priority right now, there is no reason why you shouldn't call John and check out what he has to offer. It certainly wouldn't be a waste of your time. And If you are looking for something else a little more long-term and have a few more dollars to spend, you might go to inboundrem.com and see what we're doing. Either way, we appreciate your earballs. Thank you for finding one of the top 100 real estate podcasts in the United States. We're so excited to have you as a guest. If you'd like to help us continue to grow the show and find sponsors other than the two companies that are doing the show, go ahead and give us a like and a comment on whatever platform you happen to be listening on right now. Thank you so much, John. Whenever you're ready, take us offline.